this segment is made possible by Smoking Tech's electric smokers that I've been using a long, long time, Ultramatic feeders. I'd like you to check out the Big Boar air gun that I've done a great deal of hunting with. It's the Seneca Dragon Claw, 50 caliber, pressures up to 3,000 PSI, and it looks like a conventional rifle. Wooden stock. I think you'll like the appearance, and I know you'll like the performance. It shoots not only bullets, but also air bolts as well, tipped with a broadhead. Check it out. It's the Seneca Dragon Claw. Well, friends, we have been talking a bunch of hunting in today's show. Let's shift gears a little bit. We all like to fish, too. And who better to talk fishing with than my buddy, Mr. Omar Carter, with Luck O, the Irish Guide Service. Omar, good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning to you, sir. It's going to be a good day.
You better believe it is.
I absolutely love what they call Indian summer.
Yep.
It's some great time. It's a great time to be on the water. It's not too hot, not too cold. You don't have to start at daylight if you don't want to. You can get out there any time of day pretty much and catch white bass.
Yep.
And, you know, lots of times I like to wait till that last hour of daylight and just sit there in the middle of the lake and glass for stripers busting the surface. And that'll happen too. So,
yeah,
it's just a great time of year to be out either in the woods or on the water having a good time chasing your favorite game.
You bet.
Whether it's got fur or fins, you know.
That's right. Folks, Omar, if you don't know Mr. Omar Carter, he's been guiding a long time. He guides a lot at Grapevine. He has a guide service with a couple other guys. But Tewakinee, and I know that everybody listening on the radio, many of our fine radio stations know about Lake Tewakinee in Texas. But if you happen to be listening to the podcast, Tewakinee is about 45 minutes east of Dallas. And Omar, you would be hard-pressed to find a better lake for a lot of species, but white bass and hybrid stripers and even pure stripers. I mean, it is a hot spot for catching white bass by the gazillions, isn't it?
You know? It is. I mean, when you've got fish so thick underneath you, it'll interrupt the transponder ping.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fish.
It is, yeah.
And it's just got a major river feeding, Sabine River. So even on years where other smaller lakes that are fed by creeks may not have enough of a water flow to have a successful spawn, Tewakinee does.
Yes, yeah.
And you can count just about every year on a very good spawn. You can count on all of the bridges that cross the Sabine River. You can count on cars stacked up on both sides of the road. It's just an incredible time of year. But that's why the lake has the sand that it has. And the size it has is because of the food that's in it. It's got ghost minnows, threadfin shad, gizzard shad, grass shrimp, bluegill. I mean, everything that these fish would eat, it's there. And it's there in massive quantities. You know, there's just all kinds of food for them to eat. That's why they grow as fast as they do and as big as they do.
That's true. Yep. Of course, you've fished all the lakes, and I have too, around North Texas. But I do really think, well, I know that Tewakinee, the sand bass are just bigger overall. If you catch, say you go to different
size.
Yeah, that's it. Say you go to four different lakes that are good sand bass lakes. And folks, we here in Texas, we call white bass sand bass. But if you go to four lakes, catch 50. You and your buddy or whatever catch 50 fish, I'd almost bet you that the heaviest stringer is going to come from Tewakinee, you know?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about catching them. Fall, I used to, honestly, and it was a mistake, for a long time when I was younger, I would abandon. Of course, I'm not a fishing guide, and I'd get to fish with guys like you, but I would abandon the water through most of November and December, but I learned a long time ago, get out there. There's no better time to get out
really
on the
not.
Water. You know, I mean, yeah, go hunting, and I do plenty of that, but break away and go out and catch you some fish. What's up? They seem to just be on a better feeding, or they're always biting out at Tewakinee. I mean, I fish with you.
They are.
All
you just
season.
Have to figure out.
Yeah.
You have to figure out what technique's going to work. And strangely enough, trolling seems to be working still the best right now because they're just moving really, really fast, mm-hmm. looking for food.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to fish the structure they're holding to. And right now it's shallow points between 8 and 15 feet deep. They're right there, but they're not sitting still. You can, you know, if you've got a really good trolling motor and you've got a remote on it, you can hit spot lock before the boat can get turned around or gone.
They're on the move.
It's just, yeah. They're on the move. They are looking to fatten up and feed up for winter. They're already starting to kind of form their egg sacs and so forth, getting ready for the spawn in March and April. So, you know, they're really feeding hard right now.
Well, tell us about what your rigs that you're using, you know, on the trolling, Omar.
Still using the good old Hellbender pet spoon, man. It's mm-hmm. just, it's working. I have one customer that fished with me about a month and a half ago. Showed him the Hellbender technique, and he's been out. He went out just Saturday, and he tried everything in the world, and he put the Hellbender back on. He said, "Man, you made me a believer in that little rig." I'm like, "It'll work when nothing else will. I swear
it will." And especially when they're on the move like that. I mean,
yeah,
you know, they might move 100 yards, and chances are they're still going to be holding on that point or that structure. You know, you'll be a different part of it, right? Go ahead, Omar. Yep.
One thing I've noticed is the long, flat-faced points mm-hmm. where you have that 8 to 15-foot contour line for 150, 200 yards. Man, that is the ticket right there, because mm-hmm. you can stay in that depth for 100 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
And mm-hmm. so you're going to go through 2, 3, maybe 4 schools in that 100 yards. It just ups your chances, folks. If you get it just looks like a flat edge, and that's what you're looking for, is a flat edged hump that mm-hmm. you can troll down, and it really, really makes a difference.
Omar, I've always been amazed that you've got a big old Hellbender plug, which is a big old plug, you know, and a leader, and then you've got a little tiny pet spoon, Tony Aceta. There's all kind of brands.
It's made by Lure Jensen.
Lure Jensen, yes, uh-huh. Yeah. But you got that little tiny silver bait on there. You know, I mean, you wonder why aren't they hitting the big plug? They find that little, I guess, the plug, well, as a conveyance to pull that pet spoon down.
They call it a poor man's downrigger, but I've actually had rod times when I know it was a Hellbender they hit, because that rod just slams down.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, of course, you don't get anything because there's no hooks on it.
Yeah,
that's just a tangled mess waiting to happen.
Uh-huh.
But there's been times, I mean, I've had fish, I guess, had it wedged in their mouth just a little bit or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's big blue cat or flathead catfish, but you're not doing anything with them. I mean, they're just so massive that it just eventually works loose out of their mouth because it's not got a hook on it.
But right, right.
They do get hit. Those Hellbenders do get hit.
They just, I've haven't done it a lot like daily like you have. I've never really noticed it, but I've often wondered, surely big old, you know, occasionally big old, well, striper or hybrid will hit it. So, and your trolling speed, you want to go just really fast enough to pull it down, let that Hellbender.
Yeah. Well, that's about 2.9 to 3.4 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That in that range is just perfect.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And I've noticed on all the engines I've ever used, it's around 900 RPMs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you don't have 900 to 1100 RPMs, you're good. If you don't have a way to know your speed.
Okay. Yep. It's not a real fast speed. It's just enough to pull that Hellbender down, you know, I mean, get the bait down.
And the other real trick too is making sure you have that 3/4 ounce bell sinker on the front of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it won't get down fast enough and stay down deep enough. And line diameter is important. I use a 20-pound main line
mm-hmm.
with a 15-pound fluorocarbon leader between the Hellbender and the pet spoon. So if I get hung, the spoon gets hung up, I don't lose the Hellbender too.
Yes.
So
you can break
it. But usually didn't want to go much higher than a 20-pound diameter. And even 17, if you feel safe that you're not going to get hung up, you'll be good.
Good, good deal. Well, that's got it. And then probably, you know, the air mid lake, lower lake. I mean, is there any specific parts? Not
really. No. You just got to really look for those good shallow, long
points. Okay.
That's what you want to look for. I mean, you can't go wrong with sun. You can't go wrong with some of the roadbeds, old roadbeds out in front of some of the pump stations. Those mm-hmm. are all good too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. Well, good job covering the sand bass. We've got a little couple of minutes here. You folks went down to Raymondville, which is far south Texas, and your wife took a good eating blue bull or nilgai. And have you had any tasty nilgai steak yet?
Yeah, we did. We cut some of the backstrap out, and we let it age in the refrigerator for about 3 or 4 days.
Yes.
Man, it's good. It's as good as anything else you'll ever eat.
Nilgai is good. I've had it several times. Oryx, and I love venison, and I really do. Some people say that, but I know how to butcher it, and I know how to cook it. So if venison handled properly is, to me, is one of the best meats. But I was talking to Larry. I told Larry Weissing, we were hunting together this opening a couple of weeks ago, and I told him about that, and he said, oh, that's some good eating. He puts nilgai, oryx, and elk, those three, and you've probably had all of them, all right up there at the top, and he's right,
yes,
man.
Sir.
They are so tasty.
They are good.
Well,
and,
you
know, I mean, it's a hunt of a lifetime for sure. I mean, it was a free range hunt. It was not a high fence hunt, and it was a spot and stalk, and it was awesome. I was with Dos Hijos Outdoors, DOSHIJOS Outdoors. They're on Facebook, so you can look them up and find them.
Yeah, good.
But,
well, I know you had a good time.
Definitely worth the price of admission.
You bet. Well, great. And I would like for you to tell our friends how to contact Luck O' the Irish, Omar Carter, on Facebook or phone number, whatever, you know?
We're under Luck O' the Irish in some form or another, and we usually have NTX on it because there's another guide service down in Florida, Luck O' the Irish Charters.
Mm-hmm.
But look for Luck O' the Irish NTX, and then also our number is 817-937-8755.
Good deal, Omar. And friends, all of our guests are actually friends of mine. You can, if you ever try to find them, you can't, catfishradio.org, just email Luke, I'll hook you up. Omar, go eat you some fried nilgai, buddy. I'd like to join you on that. Sounds so good. Appreciate you being with us, too, very much.
Thank you.
Folks, let's talk a little outdoor cooking. Let me tell you about an electric smoker that I've been using for 15 years, I guess. Smoking Tech's electric smokers. If you're tired of staying up all night keeping that wood fire burning when you're barbecuing, give Smoking Tech's a try. They're made to last a lifetime. You can check them out at smokingtex.com. That's SMOKINTEX.com. For seasonings, anything to do with outdoor cooking, all kind of jerky seasonings, sausage seasonings, Butcher Packer Supply. That's butcherpackersupply.com. I think the website is butcher-packer.com. I want to tell you about a one-stop shop for everything related to game feeders and fish feeders, Ultramatic Feeders. I've been using components and feeders from Ultramatic Feeders for 20-something years, I guess. They have the remote, which you can remotely activate your feeder with, the timer, which is the most simple timer that I've ever found on a game feeder, and then the eliminator. Check these out. They are worked on, actually, on centrifugal force, and they seal off the corn supply so coons and squirrels can't get to the corn. Check them out. Ultramatic Feeders, you could go online to ultramaticfeeders.com.